And now it's time for Roger Radio with Big Tuna Bill Gieslin, Pro Bass Angler Stan Vandenberg, Hopalong John Cassie, and Wendy Tochihara. Hey, if you're a sports enthusiast and you like deep sea fishing, or you love to wade a high Sierras or Alaska stream, or if you just like to take the kids to the local lake and dangle a worm for a trout or a crappie, this is the show for you. We talk about bass tournaments, saltwater tournaments, we have fish reports, and we'll give you information on how to and where to get in some of the best fishing in Southern California, Baja, Mexico, Alaska, really all over. And we're going to talk about some of the fishing trips we have scheduled where you can join us and see why we love what we do. Rod and Radio is brought to you by El Cajon Ford at Broadway, Maine. Online, it's elcajonford.com. Whether it's a new or used car or truck, or you want to take advantage of San Diego's first quick lanes for service while you wait, or brand name tires at competitive prices, as Tony Gwynn says, nobody beats El Cajon Ford. We have some fantastic guests tonight, and on our upcoming shows, we'll talk to some of the top bass pros in Southern California, and we'll have reports from local lakes and the saltwater boats fishing off our coast. It's all right here, right now on Rod and Reel Radio, the best place on radio to get information about fishing opportunities all over the United States.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Dance. You know, when I'm in Southern California, I make it a point to listen to Rod and Reel Radio.
Hi, this is BSS record holder Dean Rojas. El Cajon Ford helped me when I got started in my career, and let them help you with a new F-Series Ford truck. And remember, nobody beats El Cajon Ford.
And Southern California, welcome to Rod and Reel Radio. On behalf of Big Tuna Bill Gieslin, who is at home resting comfortably, trying to fight off the effects of pneumonia. Also, my co-host, Stan Vandenberg, and my other co-host, Wendy Tochihara. Welcome to Rod and Reel Radio. Hey, we want to just make a couple of announcements to our KCA listeners. If you're listening to us on Friday, if you want to go after tuna, this is the time to do it. The reports from the landings are real good. You're going to probably have to take a 1.5 or a 2-day trip, but the numbers are looking good over at Point Loma. The new low end, the 16 passengers, came back with 80 bluefin tuna, and that was a 1.5-day trip. Also, a lot of the 2-day boats are coming back with good numbers of bluefin tuna, yellowtail, and yellowfin tuna. So the landings are really doing well, but there was a little bit of an oddity, but they've done this before out of H&M Landing. The Malahini on a 3/4-day boat fishing around the Coronado Islands had 11 bluefin tuna and 7 yellowtail. Now, I'm not sure if this is kind of a fluke, if they got into it. We know that there have been bluefin tuna around the Coronado Islands and some of the breaks there before. 3/4-day boat, though, getting yellowfin tuna. Yeah, if you're wanting a bluefin tuna, your best bet is to get a hold of Seaforth, H&M Landing, Point Loma Sports Fishing, Fisherman's Landing, and book yourself aboard one of the 1.5 or 2-day trips. Good way to go. Also, if you're listening to us on Friday, the El Cajon Ford San Diego Team Open is just around the corner. Still time to get into this $5,000 guaranteed first place prize. For the team winner, it's Monday, Tuesday, 15th and 16th of August. You can still have chance to sign up. The team meeting is going to be Sunday, starting at 1 o'clock at Anglers Marine. So you want to make sure that if you're listening to us in the Inland Empire area on KCAA, you get a hold of us, 619-466-8355, or go to elcajonford.com and tune in to the El Cajon Ford San Diego Team Open for 2011. When we broadcast on Sunday night, we'll already be at the team meeting, and if for our KCAA listeners or our AM 540 listeners, our guest in the 6 o'clock hour of Rod and Reel Radio is going to be Donnie Iovino. So listen in with us if you can. Hey, but we have a great guest with us today. This is one of my favorite subjects, and it's talking about what do people do when they have a fish or a trophy of a lifetime. What do you do with it? Let's say you want to preserve it. Well, the number one name in mounting here in Southern California or in preservation is Lions and O'Havers. And I have with us Mike O'Haver, and Mike is the fellow that just kind of started it all. It's a family-run organization, but, you you don't need to hear about me on that. Let's talk to Mike ourselves. Mike, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here.
You know, when I think about taxidermy and mounting fish and preserving them, I don't think about San Diego. I kind of think about the southeast, the south, where there seems like there's a lot of game and things like that. But you've been in San Diego here for over 50 years. How did Lions and O'Havers get their start?
We've been in business for 55 years, and my partner and I both worked together as teenagers, and we bought a little business in 1956 on El Cajon Boulevard. We did very few fish at that time. We moved to La Mesa in 1960 on Fletcher Parkway, where we are today, and We've managed to build a reasonable reputation.
Reasonable reputation. I think if it is not, regional, it's almost got to be a worldwide representation, because I think you take in requests to do fish mounts and replicas literally from all over the world, don't you?
We've shipped fish all over the world, literally, yes. China, Japan, England, Germany, just South America. There probably isn't any place we haven't shipped them.
Well, I know you'll do mounts, and you do everything from birds to mammals, things like that. And we might get into that later on, but Rod and Reel Radio, it's a fishing show. And what percentage of business is from fishing-related mounts, and what percentage do you have from game?
I would say it splits down the middle, about 50-50. And we're very fortunate to be able to do both.
Okay. There's a difference between mounts and replicas. And I know now you're probably doing more replicas than mounts, but tell us what this difference is, Mike.
Well, early on, we started to do fish skins and do fish mounts that are still done down in the south in various places. But we found that they don't last very long. The scales start curling up, the paint peels off, and you just don't have a very lasting piece.
Why is that?
Well, you can't get all the oil out of the fish, usually out of the skin, and then the scales, there's nothing to hold them down, and as they dry out, they just curl, and it's usually around the jaw bones where you can't get the grease out. The paint starts peeling off, and it's just not as practical as having a reproduction, an exact reproduction of a fish.
So I know that we probably have a lot of people that are listening to us that they have a fish replica somewhere that was granddad's or anything like that, and they take a look at that thing, and they don't know whether or not they want to put it down in the basement, the hall closet, or put it into the round file, because it just looks really shabby. Is there any way to take these old mounts that were originally skin mounts and to get them spruced up a little bit?
We refurbish a lot of fish. We probably have 20 in there right now that are being repainted and fins fixed, you know, that are broken, and it's just a lot of people just don't want to get rid of them. You know, they want to hold on to them for sentimental reasons, which is probably why most people have their fish mounted to begin with, so that they can look up and look at their fish and remember the fishing trip that they were on to catch it.
So there was a time then that you did skin mounts, and that's when you skin the fish, and so you look at the fish and it has the original fins on it and everything else like that. But when did you start changing or going over to replicas?
I would say that probably in the very late 50s or the early 60s, we started doing some reproductions. We did some reproductions for the military that they were going to put into the water, and they needed something that would last. So the only thing that we could think that would go into water would be fiberglass, and we made some fiberglass reproductions of porpoises at that time, which were not as strictly controlled as they are today, but commercial fishermen were able to get them from the nets and bring them in and have them done. And we started making those out of fiberglass. And for a period of time, we gave people a choice. We can either use your skin, or you can have one of our replicas, and we would hang one side by side. And giving them the choice, the one's going to last indefinitely, and the skin mount isn't. So gradually, the people just kind of turned and said, we would rather have the reproduction. It looks just as good as the real one.
Now, you know, I had a fish done in 1978, and it was a combination of a replica, and then also I kept the fins on, and so that it was a combination of both. Maybe it was a transition time, and I have that fish still in my living room. Now, the body of the fish and the tail looks great, but those fins, they're beginning to peel and look awful nasty and everything else like that because they were the original fish fins. Now, in a mount like this, is this something I could bring to you and you could probably spruce up for me a little bit?
Yes, John, you could do that. We could definitely fix it up. We'd peel the paint off and make sure that the grease is removed as well as possible, and then we would repaint it.
Okay, and that's obviously a lot less money than bringing a mount to you and having you start from scratch.
Yeah, no, definitely. In most cases, you know, some of the repairs that we do are pretty extreme. You know, the fish is cracked up all over, and by the time you put it back together, you know, you could buy a new fish. But and some people do that.
So you started going from skin mounts to these replicas. So what you also started doing is obviously making molds of fish. And then you started collecting an inventory of different types of fish in different sizes. Is that right?
Yes. And fortunately, we've been in business long enough to have a lot of molds. Because there is so much catch and release going on now, you know, with bass, marlin, just about anything that they're not in great supply, like tuna and things that people are going to eat. But it's
you must have a tremendous warehouse to be able to keep these things, because I know of molding that I've done in different types of areas, and just with the plastic lure molding that I do here, I've got a tremendous amount of space kept for molds. That must be a big thing with you too, and keeping track of them.
It is a big thing in keeping track of them, and we make fiberglass reproduction molds that we can use over and over again, and some of the not so popular molds we have our plaster, and we can use them one or two times, or maybe three.
Okay. Well, let's get to the situation where a fisherman has a trophy catch to him. It may not necessarily be a world record, but it's the biggest fish they ever caught. Between the time that that fish gets on the boat and the time it gets to you, what are some of the things that the fisherman can do to preserve that fish if he wants to send you the fish, or what does he do if he wants to release the fish and still have you do a replica?
Well, if he wants to release the fish and have a replica, then he should get some good measurements, you know, from tip to tip, tip of the nose, the tip of the tail, and the girth of the fish. And generally, we can come pretty close to most fish, you know, unless it's something very unusual. If someone was going to have a fish cast and wanted their own fish cast, then they should make sure that it isn't bent up and stuffed in a hole someplace, but tell a boat captain that they would like to save it for mounting and to maybe keep it aside, keep it damp so that it doesn't dry out and the scales and the skins all crack up.
And okay, so I guess pictures are the best thing.
Pictures are
great. As many as you can take, because not only being taxidermists over there, through the years, you guys have actually become artists.
Yes, we have. Lance Lyons does most of our fish painting, and he does just a remarkable job, and if you bring us a painting or a picture of your fish that you want us to reproduce, we can do that.
Wow.
You know, quite often people wait till the fish is hanging at the boat dock or someplace to take the picture. A lot of the color is gone.
Well, that happens, you know, but the fish will also change color, too, after it comes out of the water. And if you want to capture that color, too, you can do that if needed.
Absolutely.
Hey, we are speaking with Mike O'Havers from Lion O'Havers, the number one name in taxidermy here in not only Southern California, but maybe the United States. We're talking about what to do with your catch if you want to keep it around forever. And we've got more information on doing that and other things happening here in Southern California when it comes to fishing. But we've got to take a commercial break, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi. Hi, it's Tony Gwynn. You know, there's been lots of talk about the car business lately, so it's easy to wonder, who can you trust? Well, the fact is, Ford's been around for over 100 years, and my friends at El Cajon Ford have been here for over a quarter of a century. You can count on El Cajon Ford. I do, and I have for years.
El Cajon Ford has the cars and trucks you can count on, like Ranger, the small truck with best-in-class fuel economy, Fusion with 29 miles per gallon highway, new 2011 Mustang V6s with 31 miles per gallon highway, and Focus with a big 35 miles per gallon highway EPA estimates. Plus, check out the all-new Flex and America's best-selling truck, the F-150. It's all new at El Cajon Ford. New or used, come to El Cajon Ford, worth the short drive from anywhere in San Diego County. El Cajon Ford, Broadway and Main in El Cajon. Take 8 East past the Grossmont Summit to the Greenfield exit, then over to Broadway and Main. Shop online now, ElCajonFord.com.
The Red Rooster 3 is 105 feet of unmatched luxury. This fishing machine is the result of 40 years of long-range sport fishing experience. The Red Rooster 3 is the very finest long-range sport fisher in terms of safety, design, speed, and technology. With her experienced captain and crew, your fishing adventure is sure to be a success. Whether you're a hardened long-range veteran or a fisherman or woman waiting to catch that fish of a lifetime, either way, the Red Rooster 3 is the boat for you. 8-day trips are offered all summer for albacore, tuna, or yellowtail. In the fall and winter, you can book trips to the Aleos Rocks and the Revilla Gajitos Islands. These 10 to 18 day trips target speedy wahoo and world record yellowfin tuna. You'll travel in luxury and comfort in air-conditioned staterooms with passenger loads limited to give you maximum fishing room. Seven live bait wells will guarantee you plenty of bait. The Red Rooster 3 is equipped with state-of-the-art electronics to help maintain safety and catch more fish. For information and reservations, call Lee Palm Sport Fishers at 619-224-3857. That's the Red Rooster 3 at 619-224-3857. Customer service is a priority.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel, specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
It's a big deal. You know, I've always wanted to be on Rod and Reel Radio. I won the Bassmaster Classic. I did a McDonald's commercial, but now I know I've made it. I fulfilled my dream. That is just absolutely awesome.
Welcome back to Rod and Reel Radio. As you heard Hank Parker there, he's won the Bassmaster Classic, but this is the weekend for the El Cajon Ford San Diego Team Open. It's going to be August 15th and 16th. And in the second hour of the show, if you're going to be listening to us on AM 540, or for you KCAA listeners, you can just go to rodandreelradio.com and hit the listen live icon starting at 5 p.m. You can hear a recording of the show that we're doing right now. If you missed the first part of it, or starting a little bit before 6 o'clock, you can hear us live again. And our guest after the 6 o'clock hour on Sunday is going to be Bass Pro Don Ivino. Don is coming on down to San Diego to also fish the El Cajon Ford San Diego Team Open, and has been gracious enough to consider spending some time with us, even though he's prepping for that event, and just talking about the things that Donnie Ivino is doing. So you want to make sure that the second hour of the show, you listen for Bass Pro Don Ivino. But with us right now is a fellow that has seen a lot of Bass Pros go by and has also seen a lot of record fish go by, and that's Mr. Michael O'Havers from Lions and O'Havers here in Southern California, happened to be located in La Mesa, California. We're talking about what to do with your replicas for game or fish, and Michael, again, welcome to the show.
Thank you again for having me.
You know, my Lions and O'Havers, 55 years. What a great tradition that you have behind us. And you've probably seen some record mounts come through there in the past few years.
We have seen record. We've had trout, of course. The big one that stands out now is the 405-pound yellowfin tuna that was caught last year. And we cast yesterday a California record halibut that's 67 pounds, and you know, it hasn't been confirmed as an official record yet, but I'm sure it will be.
Right. Now, let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of those world records that you did, especially with the yellowfin tuna that was over 400 pounds. And we've been talking about a lot of times you have an inventory of fish that you can go to and make a replica for a fisherman. You probably did not have a replica that was large enough to depict what that 400-pound yellowfin tuna looked like. What were some of the problems that you had? I mean, someone brings into you a 400-pound carcass. It isn't like you can have one guy just flopping that around on a table and working with it. What were some of the problems that you ran into and that you had to solve as a taxidermist to get that fish looking the way you wanted to get it?
Well, you know, we picked up the fish, and Mike Lackey, the boat captain, said we have some good pictures of it. Well, it turned out that the pictures were all taken after the fish was dead, so he told us to paint them like we usually do, which is, we've been many tuna. The job, of course, is to get it from Fisherman's Landing to our studio in La Mesa, and my daughter Dolores took the truck down, and they were good enough to put it in for her. And she got a little way out up by Nimitz there, and the fish started sliding around the back because it wasn't tied in well. So
was it frozen at the time?
Or? It was frozen like a rock.
Okay, so you have a 400-pound slick boulder in the back of somebody's truck trying to get from Fisherman's Landing to La Mesa. That had to be a trick.
It was. Well, she called me, and I said, well, if you're uncomfortable, just pull over, and I'll come down and tie it back in. So I went down, tied it in. We drove it back out to the shop, and then of course, you know, it's just like a big block of ice. So we have a big tank there that we soak fish in, and we put it in the tank and let it thaw, which takes 2 or 3 days. And then, of course, we make a mold out of plaster. The fish has to be thoroughly clean, and the fish is then cast in plaster, and it has to be, of course, reinforced considerably to so that you can turn it over, because we cast one half at a time. So after this casting is done, we've got a 400-pound tuna with probably 200 pounds of water and plaster on the half of the mold, so we have to turn that over and keep the fish in it. And that takes a little bit of manpower,
I would guess.
So
how about just taking it out of the mold? How do you take it out of the mold? I remember one, many years ago, I was involved in some diving equipment, and we were making a cowling for diving equipment. And the first molds we made, in order to get the fiberglass out of the mold, we tied the mold literally to a telephone pole, and then tied the casting onto a Jeep, and we just took off in the Jeep, and we were able to get the mold released. How do you get from a plaster mold a 400-pound fish released?
Well, we take the backside off, of course, and first, and then we can pretty well roll the fish out of the mold, because the mold is round, it's the shape of the fish. So we roll it out, and the fish falls on the floor, and we cut it up, throw it away. Obviously, the meat isn't good after we've spent probably a week working on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've got to do two sides now of this fish.
Yes,
so
we do the first side, and then it takes the manpower to turn it over so that we can get it cleaned up and cast the backside. Then when we take the two halves apart, we take the back half off, which probably weighs 200 pounds, roll the 400-pound fish out, and cut it up and throw it away.
Now, okay, so you have the body of the fish, but I can imagine from the fish getting to the landing to getting to you, there's a lot of fine fins, there's side fins, there's pectoral fins, there's back fins. These things are all things that you can lose and break off. How do you get these replicas done?
Well, we tied it back into the truck pretty securely, and then, of course, we always cover them with wet towels to make sure that the skin won't crack when you bend it. And the reason for us soaking it for a few days is so that we can get some kind of a shape to it rather than just a straight tuna that's hanging on the wall.
Yeah.
And you mentioned earlier that You know, we have a cast of a 399-pounder down there.
Okay.
But it's 5 pounds lighter than the world record, so we, of course, cast the world record.
You have to.
Yes.
Well, there's some prestige, too, I know, not only for the fishermen, but the boat, but also the taxidermist for having done the world record.
Yes, and, of course, a copy of the world record is hanging at Fisherman's Landing Tackle Shop. Beautiful fish.
Okay. Did you just do one, or were there more done?
We did two. One for Mike Livingston, who caught it. One for Fisherman's Landing Tackle Shop. And we're going to do a third one, which I assume is going to SAC, Sport Fishing Association of California.
Okay. Well, I guess this comes to one of the obvious questions, and how do you determine what something like this is going to cost? Because you can get a Wahoo that probably is just as long as world record yellowfin was, but doesn't have quite the girth. Or you can get a world record big eye that may be not as long as that fish was, but could be have twice the girth. How do you figure out what you're going to charge a fisherman for mounting these fish?
Well, we pretty well keep our time on them. And if you were to come in and order a yellowfin tuna, say 200 pounds from us, out of one of our molds, it would run $1,225. The big tuna, I think, to make the model after we had the mold was about $1,425, excuse me. But we did charge to make the mold. And we kind of, you mentioned Wahoo, of course, they are a lot longer and they're a lot skinnier. And we just, usually with teeth with fish, we have an extra charge for those. However, we don't include that in something like a Wahoo because of the length.
So even like if you take, for instance, this world record California halibut that you're doing right now, it's more like a time and material type of thing than just X's and O's, this long, this wide, this thick, and all this?
Yes, the casting is separate. We have a formula that we use for the casting, and if anyone's interested, they can call us at area code 619-697-3217. And we have all sorts of prices down there that we can quote you.
Now, we're speaking to Mike Earl O'Havers from Lyons & O'Havers, probably the number one taxidermist in the Southwest, if not the nation, maybe even literally the world. You've been around for 55 years. Is there any particular mount that comes to mind that you just scratch your head and go, what? Now, I know Trigger and Bullet, you know, they're mounted and are somewhere right now, but how about with you at Lyons and O'Havers? Anything that really just goes, wow?
You know, we've done some weird things like two-headed calves and things of that type. Of course, that's not very common. We've done zebras that have been raised locally. We've done just about everything that you can think of. We do animals, of course, from all over the world. They're all regulated by Fish and Wildlife, of course. When they come in, they have been cleared by U.S. Fish and Wildlife when we get them. We are very fortunate that my daughter is married to my partner's son, Jamie Lyons, and my partner's son, Lance, does most of the fish painting, and our wives work there, and we have several other employees that have been there for over 40 years, so we feel very fortunate to have a real good crew working.
Well, not only this, it just sounds like Lyons and O'Havers is a family-run organization that has been kept in the family for well over 55 years.
It has been.
You know, now you have a little bit of a backlog. It isn't like someone can bring you a fish and come back and pick it up next week. It takes usually a little while to get one of these things done.
Yes, it depends on how good the fishing is. You know, usually a fish takes 3 or 4 months from start to finish from the time you order it.
Wow.
And the game animals can take up to 6 months because of the tanning process that's involved.
All right. Hey, we are speaking with Michael O'Havers from Lyons and O'Havers. We're talking about how to reproduce your particular record catch for posterity. Hearing that music, though, it's time to take a couple of commercial breaks. You're listening to Rod and Reel Radio on KCAA, the voice of the Inland Empire.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
H&M Lighting is the most diversified sport fishing company on the West Coast. Serving the angling community since 1935, H&M Lighting's name recognition and reputation for customer service is the best in the business. The H&M fleet provides the widest range of trip options and boasts the coast's largest open party fleet. For ocean fishing any time of the year, H&M Lighting should be your choice for near shore and offshore fishing. H&M is San Diego's most experienced sport fishing company, offering the best in half-day, three-quarter-day, full, and multi-day trips, and a complete schedule of long-range adventures. Call today, H&M Lighting, 619-222-1144, or visit their website at www.hmlanding.com for updated schedules and secure online booking. H&M Lighting, the experienced angler's first choice in local and multi-day fishing since 1935. That's H&M Lighting at 619-222-1144 or hmlanding.com.
Hey, bass fishermen. Who do you call for your bass boat insurance? Well, if you're not calling me at 1-800-BASS-BOAT for your boat insurance, you're probably paying too much and may not have the coverage that you need. In 1974, I developed the Bass Boat Program that is what all the pros use today. The reason? No depreciation or any partial claim for your hull, your big motor, your trolling motor, or your electronics until your boat's 10 years old. That's right, you only pay $250 to get your boat on the water for any partial claim, and we still pay a stated value replacement cost for your boat if you have a total loss. We're the only people in the industry that does that, and that's why we are the choice of the pros. So if you want the best, forget the rest. Just call 1-800-BASS-BOAT. Call 1-800-227-7262 or just spell Bass Boat. 1-800-BASS-BOAT. I know there's too many letters, but the T is free and the call's on me. That's 1-800-BASS-BOAT, the choice of the pros for bass boat insurance. For more information, log on to 1-800-BASS-BOAT.com.
Hi, my name is Dennis Green, and I always love to talk about fishing. When I want the real information, I go to Rod and Reel Radio. Those guys are who I thought they were.
Hi, I'm Aaron Martins. For winning the 2004 U.S. Open, I drove away with a new Ford F-150 truck supplied by El Cajon Ford. Nobody beats El Cajon Ford.
And Southern California, welcome back to Rod Reel Radio. I'm Hop along John Cassidy, and for the past 40 minutes or so, we have been speaking with Michael O'Havers from Lions and O'Havers, a family-run taxidermy business that has been doing business here in the San Diego area for 55 years. Before we get back to Michael, we have our weekly fish report from thefishicon.com, Captain James Nelson, to give us the inshore report. Captain James, are you with us?
Hey, John, I'm here. How you doing?
Hey. Well, I know where I am. Michael knows where he is. John Watanabe, our able producer, knows where he is. Where are you today?
I'm right next to Carmen, San Diego. Can you believe it? Actually, a little reference there. Somebody will get that one.
Yes.
I'm actually right at the Shelter Island Lawn Tournament. We just got off the water. My tournament partner, Robert, and I went out and played around with some reefs and checked out some offshore stuff to see what was happening.
Well, you know, there's a couple of things I need to talk to you about real quick. We've been talking about on the 1.5-day and 2-day trips. Seems like the bluefin, yellowfin, yellowtail bite is picking up a lot. They're getting good numbers. We've also been talking about the inshore bite in the bays and just offshore from us. Even with that cold water that we've had, has actually been pretty good this season. Is that continuing to happen?
Yeah, the bay is still real good right now. The calico bite has been the best bet offshore. Today we went out and found some sand bass on a couple reefs, found some calicos and sand bass. But, you know, the inshore, you know, in the bay has been really good. I mean, we've been actually catching sharks, bay bass, sand bass, halibut, I mean, you name it. So bonefish been pretty much still steady. I mean, it's just been really good inside the bay.
Wow. And I understand, too, a little birdie has told me that you've kind of changed your ride a little bit, and you're going to be offering the customers for fishicon.com a little bit different perspective when they come out with you.
Yeah, we got a little more room to fish on. You know, I've always have loved 18, 19-foot boats. When I toured for a little bit, I ran a 20-foot tour boat on the bass tournaments, but I still like the smaller boats, and I kind of upsized it. We got a 24-foot Triton that we run now.
Wow.
And that just gives a lot more room. You know, I get folks out there, you know, we're running packs of, you know, 2 to 4 people on the boat, and it's a lot nicer when you got 3 and 4 people on there. There's a lot more room to fish on a 24-footer.
Now, the Triton you're running right now, is that in the configuration of like a bass boat, or does that have the higher gunnels on it?
It does have higher gunnels, but it also has upper deck. So, I mean, it'll feel a lot like a bass boat for those who like to get up on the upper decks. But if you want a little bit higher gunnel, something to lock your knees on, we've got that by stepping down to the lower deck.
Well,
so it's set up much like a bass boat with steroids on it. Best way to describe it.
Hey, now, if there happen to be people out there that aren't going after the bluefin tuna right now or will be fishing the Elkhorn Ford San Diego Team Open, that they want to go out in the bay, what do you suggest they do?
Well, the best bet on the bay is, you know, stick with swim baits we're running. Right now, the currents haven't been too strong. They're kind of got that lazy summer current. So you can get away with 1/2 ounce, maybe 3/4 ounce when they actually do pull a little bit. We're running mostly swim tails, a little Western plastic. I like that sexy smell. The dance of squid's been pretty good. And also the grub, that little Pickler Series grub. I really like that because it holds a lot of uni butter. And that's always a good one. But fish anywhere between 25 and 50 foot. You know, those fish, you know, are in that broad range. And let it hit the bottom. Long line it, drift line, shake it, do whatever you can to get their attention, and then pay attention to what works. Whatever works for one fish most likely will work for more.
Okay, Captain James Nelson, we know that it's summertime and you don't have a lot of spots for people to fish, but if people want to consider going out with Captain James Nelson from the fishicon.com, how's the best way to get a hold of you?
Best way, of course, always by phone, 619-395-0799. Or for the more modern types, there is the website at thefishicon.com. And they could reach me there. Again, the phone, 619-395-0799. Also shops. You know, it's never a bad idea to go check out the shops like Angler's Arsenal, your shop there, John, of course, Barnacle Bills. Talk to the guys behind the counter, and they'll kind of key in on what's up. And then you could actually get a trip going with me through them. So.
All right, Captain James, hey, thanks a lot for that fish report. Right now, if you want to go fishing, it sounds like now's the time to do it. Good luck out there, and I hope we see you on the water, Captain James.
You bet. Thanks again, John. Take care.
Hey, thanks for the report. Also in that report, if you were listening, Captain James happened to mention some of the lures made by Western Plastics. Western Plastics makes a large arrangement of shrimp tails and paddle tails. We call them Tommy Knockers. Also, they make a squid called the Scared Squid. If you're interested in seeing more of the products produced by Western Plastics down here in the San Diego area, you can go to West Marine, get a great selection over there. Squidco over on Barnett. Fisherman's Landing Tackle over there by Fisherman's Landing. Also, Turner's Outdoors, both in Vista and in the San Marcos area and in San Diego. And one of the new fellas that come aboard up in the Oceanside area, go visit Peter over at Fisherman's Tackle over on Harbor Drive in Oceanside. They all have a great array of Western Plastics, and what they will do for you is they'll take your order if there's a special color you want. So thanks a lot for fishing Western Plastics, and we want to thank Captain James Nelson from the fishicon.com for that report. Hey, we're happy to be with Michael Havers, and Michael is from Lyons and O'Haver here in San Diego County. Mike, we just had a a really big calico bass come up that I think that you might be working on to, or might have worked on or provided the mold for. There was a 13.10. If someone were to bring a calico bass to your attention that is that size, because I believe the world record here in San Diego is only like 1452, would you be able to replicate that type of a fish?
Without checking the records, I'm not sure that we can. We can come very close, I'm sure. And we did just get a couple orders for a couple of really big calico bass.
Yeah, it's been a great season for calico bass over here. Now, Mike, one of the things that I am impressed with is the Lions and O'Havers website. You offer a lot of information to not only fishermen but hunters when they get that prize on what to do it and how to prepare it and bring it on into us. Tell us a little bit about your website.
Well, our website is lionsandohaver.com. That's LYONSANDOHAVER.com. And you can go on to Taxidermy San Diego, and I'm sure the website will come up also. But it's fairly new, and we're still adding to it all the time. And it just takes a little time to put the pictures on, and it's very interesting.
How many, during the course of a regular year, and I don't know with the economy the way it's been down, if your business is up or if it's staying the same, how many mounts, both when it comes to mammals and fish and other things, do you actually go through in a season or a year?
I really couldn't answer that very factfully right now. We do quite a few, and we've been very fortunate to stay quite busy. We have customers all over the country, not just here in San Diego. And we just stay real steady.
Okay. Now, if there's a customer that is outside of an area that they can physically come and visit with you, let's say it's one of our listeners from Riverside or someone from the Las Vegas area or even someone from the East Coast. We have someone down in Florida that is listening to us over the internet. How's the best way, if they have a record catch, to contact you and get you to duplicate that fish and for you to work up a proposal with them so that they feel comfortable that you can do a job for them and it's at a price that you can both agree upon?
Well, the best thing for them to do is give us a phone call. Of course, we do a lot of corresponding by email. We get requests, and there are a lot of taxidermists in Florida, but we send a lot of fish to Florida. So I think that kind of speaks highly of what they're getting out there if they go to the trouble of having fish shipped all the way from California to Florida. And I'm not talking just small fish. I'm talking about marlin, which includes a pretty good shipping fee.
Sure. You know, we've got a lot of people that go down to Mexico, and whether they go freshwater fishing, El Salto or Mateos or Obregon, wherever that is, or if they go saltwater fishing. For instance, you go down to the East Cape and you enter the Bisbee or the WN tournament. There was, a world record black marlin caught there just last year in one of the tournaments. People want to have a fish like that replicated. How's the best way to get that done?
It just depends on the size. In the last year, we've done some of the big marlin bills that have come out of the Bisbee tournament, and we've cast them, used the original bill. This is assuming that the fish is dead, of course. Of course, it would have to be. But usually they want one or two copies for the people that are on board. And
now we're talking about the actual bill the fish.
Yes.
And how long can that get to be?
If it's a blue or black marlin, it's probably only a couple feet long at the most. So it's not a big thing to bring back. But we would encourage people to probably release that fish if it's not dead.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And, there are other things that people probably have brought to you in the past that are not non-game things. Is this something that you consider doing? Like they have a particular pet or something that they want to keep around and they just don't want to bury or cremate. Have you done people's pets?
You know, John, we get calls for those probably every week, but we don't do them.
Okay.
We occasionally do a bird, you know, a parrot or something that has died, but they just sit on a limb generally. But to capture the little idiosyncrasies of a dog or a cat is almost impossible. You're around him all the time. You know his how his ears hang, and you know how his what his eyes look like, and it's just not fair to even assume that you can do something good enough.
Just can't even believe to do that. Is there a list of mammals and animals that you stay away with, or through some type of legislation you can't work with?
Oh, definitely, there are things. You can't. We couldn't do a mountain lion here in California, even if you took it legally outside of the state. We're very careful about everything that we take in, and we get a license number for all of the animals and fish that come through the door. We jot it down so that we have a record so that we're not working with something that's illegal. We do a lot of work for the state parks, small birds, things of that type, small snakes. And
Because they have how about museum work? Do you also do work for museums?
We do work for museums. We do work for the Navy. We do work for everybody.
Okay. And how about reptiles? Do people bring reptiles to you?
They do. Most of them are just tanned. However, most of the museums want mounted rattlesnakes of some type, you know. And, of course, they're always kind of iffy because they don't kill anything. Everything has to be found dead, which is usually hit by a car. So we have to.
Can you duplicate the treadmark just exactly?
Right over the back of the snake.
Hey, we are speaking with Michael O'Haver from Lions and O'Haver. It's the probably world-renowned taxidermist that's right here in Southern California. Been working for 55 years on reproducing game for fishermen and hunters throughout the world. We hear the music. Time to take a commercial break. We'll be right back.
Angler's Arsenal is the serious angler's first choice for hand-poured plastics, McCoy Line, Spro Products, Gamakatsu Hooks, G. Loomis Fishing Rods, Shimano Products, Ovid Reels, and just about anything you hear advertised on Rod and Reel Radio. Go to anglersarsenal.com and visit our online tackle store. See the huge selection of Western Plastics hand-poured baits, all at anglersarsenal.com. Angler's Arsenal Tackle Store is conveniently located in La Mesa, just off Interstate 8. Give us a call at 1-800-428-8730.
If you're serious about your fishing, choosing the right tackle is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. Iserline makes premium fishing lines, including monofilament, Dacron, Spectra, fluorocarbon, battle-tested harnesses, and top angler-tested Iserline tools and accessories. Iserline premium fishing products are created to provide you with the ultimate in strength, dependability, durability, high abrasion resistance, low stretch, and high quality. All Iserline products are 100% guaranteed against manufacturing defects. You just can't buy better value. Iserline will replace or repair at their option, no questions asked, if you're not pleased with any of their products. Catch what you've been missing. Quality guaranteed. Ballyhood International has been producing custom big game trolling lures since 1992. Daryl Primrose, former owner-operator of the Finisterre Tortuga Sport Fishing Fleet in Cabo San Lucas, brings years of experience and first-hand knowledge to the design and manufacturing process of his lures. Great care is taken to ensure that the customer receives the highest quality lures possible. Daryl's custom big game trolling lures are sold manufactured direct to you. He has a complete line of fishing lures for marlin, shark, dorado, tuna, and wahoo. And the shipping is free. It's easy to order. Just go to www.ballyhood.com, pick out your favorite lure, and buy online. Or call Daryl at 714-545-0196.
The Red Rooster 3 is 105 feet of unmatched luxury. This fishing machine is the result of 40 years of long-range sport fishing experience. The Red Rooster 3 is the very finest long-range sport fisher in terms of safety, design, speed, and technology. With her experienced captain and crew, your fishing adventure is sure to be a success. Whether you're a hardened long-range veteran or a fisherman or woman waiting to catch that fish of a lifetime, either way, the Red Rooster 3 is the boat for you. 8-day trips are offered all summer for albacore, tuna, or yellowtail. In the fall and winter, you can book trips to the Alios Rocks and the Revilla Gajitos Islands. These 10 to 18 day trips target speedy wahoo and world record yellowfin tuna. You'll travel in luxury and comfort in air-conditioned staterooms with passenger loads limited to give you maximum fishing room. 7 live bait wells will guarantee you plenty of bait. The Red Rooster 3 is equipped with state-of-the-art electronics to help maintain safety and catch more fish. For information and reservations, call Lee Palm Sport Fishers at 619-224-3857. That's the Red Rooster 3 at 619-224-3857. Customer service is a priority.
Hi, folks. Roland Martin. When I'm in Southern California, I tune into Rod and Reel Radio.
Just like a gypsy, mighty hard to hold. Great American fisherman got fishing in his soul.
Hi, I'm Hopalong John Cassidy. Since 1994, I've put 315,000 miles on my Elkhorn Ford. Thanks to the Elkhorn Ford Service Department, I'm still rolling. For price, service, and selection, nobody beats Elkhorn Ford.
Welcome back to Rod and Reel Radio, you KCAA listeners. You know, if you want to listen to the second half of Rod and Reel Radio, you're going to have to wait till Sunday night. We're on AM 540. You can go to rodandreelradio.com. Just hit the Listen Live icon. Get on with us. We have Donnie Iovino that's going to be with us. He'll be talking about not only coming down here to San Diego to fish the 13th annual Elkhorn Ford San Diego Team Open, but the work that he's doing with Lowrance and then also his own businesses. And again, for you KCAA listeners, we talked about it last week, but if you want to take your kids fishing, come on down here to San Diego on Saturday, August the 13th at 9 a.m. You can go to the Shelter Island Pier and the kids fish free. You don't have to bring any tackle. You don't have to bring a lunch. You don't have to bring anything. Bring the kids. Sign them up starting at 9 o'clock. Fishing starts at 10 a.m., goes to 2. There's all types of categories that they can fish in. Most of them are age categories, all kinds of prizes. You can stay with them and help your youngin' catch fish and introduce them to the great activity of sports fishing. Also, come on down to San Diego. It's all going to be a lot cooler here this weekend than in the Inland Empire. And again, to remind you, the Elkhorn Ford San Diego Team Open takes place August 15th and 16th. $5,000 guaranteed first place prize. You KCAA listeners, you still have time to enter. Get a hold of us here at Angler's Arsenal, 800-428-8730, or go to elkhornford.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the page. Just hit the icon that says sponsored events, and that'll get you right to more information and an entry form for the 2011 Elkhorn Ford San Diego Team Open. And with us, if you've been listening for the past few minutes, we have Michael Havers from Lions and O'Havers. Boy, the number one taxidermist probably here in Southern California, Southwest, the United States, and probably close to the world. Been in business for 55 years. Michael, some of the projects that you're working on are really interesting, and they happen to be involved with tuna.
Yes, you know, you were talking to Captain James about people catching bluefin tuna, and we just recently completed a 270-pound bluefin tuna that came from the Monterey Bay Aquarium, and we're doing it for a Dr. Barbara Block. And it was put in there when it probably weighed about 20 pounds. It made a very interesting project. Of course, it had been autopsied, completely messed up, but it turned out to be a beautiful fish in the end.
And how long did they estimate? How old was that fish in order to get that size? Did you get any idea of that, Michael?
They did not. You know, I really didn't ask him about that. I did ask, I have asked Scripps about the age of the 405-pound tuna that was caught, and they estimate that to probably be about 10 to 10 and a half years old.
Wow.
And they took the head and the tail of that fish, and they will age it, but they told me it might be a year before they get to it.
Right. Now, you know, unfortunately what happens, I'm sure you get people ask you this all the time, you bring them a big fish and they go, hey, can you save the meat for me? Is that something you can do?
Not if we make a mold of that fish, because a mold of the fish, like this little halibut, it's 67 pounds, but it took us 2 days in the casting process, and it's in hot plaster, and it's been thawed overnight, so you certainly wouldn't want to try to eat that meat. I think it's time to go fishing again.
Well, that's what's really great about the replicas that you do, that if you choose that you want to release your catch, you take some great pictures and then send the pictures to you, and you can do a replica of it. If you decide that you want to keep the fish, which we're not against at all, you can do that. Again, send you the pictures, the measurements, and you can replicate that fish.
Absolutely. That's probably the really good way to go. Most of our molds are first class, have really good scale detail.
Okay. We've been speaking with Michael O'Havers from Lions and O'Havers. Again, phone number and website to get a hold of you, Mike.
Phone number is area code 619-697-3217. Website is lionsandohaver.com.
All right, Michael O'Havers from Lions and O'Havers. Thanks a lot for being with us for the first hour of Rod and Reel Radio. If you're listening to us on KCAA, thank you for listening. If you're listening to us on AM 540, we're going to be back right after the music is over. Thanks a lot, Southern California, for listening. On behalf of Big Tuna Bill, Woody Toshihara, Stan Vandenberg, I'm Hopalong John Cassidy. Have a great fishing weekend. And what do you know, through the magic of radio, it is Sunday night. And along with me tonight is my co-host, Stan Vandenberg. Stan, how you doing tonight, sir?
Great, John. How about you, buddy?
We're just doing fantastic. You know, we had that first hour with Michael O'Haver from Lions and O'Havers. Can you believe, Stan, that those folks have been in business here in San Diego for 55 years?
For as long as I remember. Of course, I'm just a smidgen over that. But they've been, you know, making replicas of the fish and skin mounts way back when. You know, they've just been around forever, and they've done a great job. I mean, everybody that's in the industry out here that's in the fishing world knows Lions and O'Haver, so they top quality, and they're always, you know, if you're looking for some place to go to get a really quality mount, Lions and O'Haver has always been the best.
You know, one of the things they will do, and we didn't touch upon this in the interview, but I actually know fishermen that will send swim baits to them, and the guys over there will actually repaint the swim baits to whatever pattern the fishermen want and send it on back to them.
I love it.
Now, I'm not going to tell you that's an economy way to go, but if you want a swim bait that is really pristine or realistic, you can get a hold of Lions and O'Havers. And you know, guys, as well as I do, Stan, that they'll go to that nth degree in order to get that edge.
You know, you're talking to one. When I was headed for the Crowley, I was fishing our Fathead event, the finest annual trout invitational tournament. I got a hold of Jerry Rago, and I said, Rago, I'm sending you six baits that are just, you know, you need to sand them down, and I want them painted your colors, what you would fish for the Crowley. And I don't care what it costs. You know, it's like at that juncture, all of us that have been around for a while, and you can see the guys in the pros do it all the time. There's guys on the pro tour that actually paint their own baits. They'll sand stuff down, take a crankbait, and make it their own colors. And that's not uncommon. It's, you know, we're pretty into this sport. I've got guys that, you know, I even get my guys up here in Santa Clarita. There's two guys that hand paint baits. And so they're around, and they have a pretty good business going with the bass fishermen for sure. And it's gotten into the saltwater side on a much bigger basis lately.
Boy, well, Lion O'Havers, they're the people that'll do it for you if you don't have someone that's in the business like Stan does. But I know Jerry Rago, did he say anything to you about those 9-inch baits, special baits that he was making for Clear Lake?
I have one. He didn't say much, but I have one. So he's done a really good job, and he's been working with the guys at Robo to, you know, to get all of his stuff nailed down to the perfect so it swims the right way and it can be done over and over and over again. He's got a lot of things in the works, but he's always been really creative. I'm sure in the next year here you're going to see some new stuff from him too.
He's always – that's one thing about Jerry. He stays ahead of everybody, and I know just with the Skeet Reese baits and the Byron Velvet baits that we have here in the shop, along with the injection-molded Dirty Rat, he's also taken the baits and made them more affordable to the guys, but they still work and they still catch fish. Hey, Stan, we're going to have to take a top-of-the-hour break, but I want to remind our listeners, stay tuned. We still have another hour of Rod and Reel Radio with us. With us coming along is going to be Donnie Ivino. He's going to be on with us. We're also going to talk a little bit more about the Elkhorn Ford San Diego Team Open. And we cannot let this evening get by without first telling you about what's happening to the tuna bite down here in San Diego. It is off the hook. So, hey, Abraham, are we about ready for a break?
Sounds like it.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Stan Vandenberg, Hop Along John Cassidy, Rod and Reel Radio. Sunday night, still have a full hour of radio to go, but we got a break for a couple of commercial messages. We'll be right back after these words.
Do you know someone who is struggling, upside down, or facing foreclosure? 7 out of 10 people let their homes go into foreclosure without ever contacting a real estate professional. Why not contact a certified distressed property expert and realtor who can provide the expertise and experience to help your family? A foreclosure and a short sale are not the same. There are significant credit, purchase, and security differences. There are new federal guidelines in place to help. Time is not on your side, but we are. Call to speak with a distressed property expert. All calls are handled with the utmost dignity and care. Call Margaret Lynn, a licensed broker associate of Remax Olson, at 818-832-2623. That's 818-832-2623. Get the facts, get some help.
Seeker Fishing Rods has introduced a new line of rods. These Super Seekers combine a classic look with the very latest technology and materials. The blanks are brown with a tangerine finish and a double coat of epoxy finish. Proudly made in the U.S., these rods are made from the latest state-of-the-art materials like 120 carbon fiber and S-glass combined with the all-new EH4 epoxy resin system. The carbon fiber base transitions into an S-glass tip, which makes them the most powerful and fastest recoiling rods ever. These rods were built to match today's powerful two-speed reels, such as Ovid and Accurate, that require an extra strong rod with the fastest recoil. When rods break, they usually break on the bottom side of the rod because when a rod bends, the top can stretch more than the bottom can compress. Using an S-glass tip and an EH4 resin system means these rods have 3 times the compression strength of E-glass and they have a faster recoil. The Super Seeker series boasts of models from the lightest bait rod to the heaviest stand-up rod, and now they have the brand new 10-foot Ulua rod. See the line of Super Seekers at SeekerRods.com and try one now at your favorite tackle store.
H&M Lining is the most diversified sport fishing company on the West Coast. Serving the angling community since 1935, H&M Lining's name recognition and reputation for customer service is the best in the business. The H&M fleet provides the widest range of trip options and boasts the coast's largest open party fleet. For ocean fishing any time of the year, H&M Lining should be your choice for nearshore and offshore fishing. H&M is San Diego's most experienced sport fishing company, offering the best in half-day, three-quarter-day, full, and multi-day trips, and a complete schedule of long-range adventures. Call today, H&M Lining, 619-222-1144, or visit their website at www.hmlanding.com for updated schedules and to secure online booking. H&M Lining, the experienced angler's first choice in local and multi-day fishing since 1935. That's H&M Lining at 619-222-1144 or hmlanding.com.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel.
steel specially heat treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
If you're serious about your fishing, choosing the right tackle is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. Iserline makes premium fishing lines, including monofilament, Dacron, Spectra, fluorocarbon, battle-tested harnesses, and top angler-tested Iserline tools and accessories. Iserline premium fishing products are created to provide you with the ultimate in strength, dependability, durability, high abrasion resistance, low stretch, and high quality. All Iserline products are 100% guaranteed against manufacturing defects. You just can't buy better value. Iserline will replace or repair at their option, no questions asked, if you're not pleased with any of their products. Catch what you've been missing. Quality guaranteed.
It's a big deal. You know, I've always wanted to be on Rod and Reel radio line. I won the Bassmaster Classic. I did a McDonald's commercial, but now I know I've made it. I fulfilled my dream. That is just absolutely awesome.
Southern California, welcome back to the second hour of Rod and Reel Radio. If you missed the first hour of Rod and Reel Radio, why did you? Go on at 5 p.m. on AM 540 here in the San Diego, Los Angeles, Orange County area. So please tune in to the two-hour show, Rod and Reel Radio. On behalf of my co-host, Stan Vandenberg, Wendy Toshihara is with us tonight. I'm co-host Hopalong John Cassidy, kind of filling in for the host of Rod and Reel Radio, Big Tuna Bill Gieslin. A lot of you guys I know have been wanting updates on how Big Tuna Bill is getting along. I've got to tell you, he is resting comfortably at home right now, trying to fend off the side effects of pneumonia. Rod and Reel Radio has set up a page on Facebook, so if you want to get a hold of Big Tuna, send him your best regards. Go to Rod and Reel Radio on Facebook, and you can just get right on and send a message to him. Or you can get a hold of myself here at Angler's Arsenal, send an email, and we'll be happy to get to Bill. So, Bill, get well soon. Keep strong on behalf of not only Stan, Wendy, and myself, but all our listeners. Rod and Reel Radio, we wish you the best.
You bet,
hey,
buddy.
Guys, Wendy, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm salivating because I want to go hit some of those bluefin.
Hey, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on, but we have our first guest with us, and he told me, hey, John, you got to get me on. I've been working my you-know-what off for the past 48 hours, but I'm going to be coming down to San Diego to fish the El Cajon Ford San Diego Team Open, so I'll spend some time with on the radio with you, but also I've got to get to bed, too, and I want to welcome to Rod and Reel Radio, and Stan and Wendy do the same. To Pappy Don Ivino. Don Ivino, welcome.
I'm glad to be able to be on the radio today with you guys. As soon as we get off the radio, I'm going to go to bed and try to catch some fish in San Diego. I think those San Diego fish might like me because they haven't seen me in a while.
I haven't talked to you for a few, Pappy, but you know, it's good to hear your voice, buddy.
Yeah, I've been really busy and fished the U.S. Open and doing a lot of seminars for Lowrance, especially with these new HTS units. There's a lot of things people have to learn on them. I mean, they're just it's quite
whole
a quick piece of equipment.
Yeah, Donnie, let me just ask you the first question out of the block. You have been around as a professional bass fisherman for as long as I can remember, and you were popular when I came on the scene in the late 70s. You were a bass fisherman. There was at that time not really a lot of people that emulate like the bass fishermen do today. There wasn't out here in the West a big stir made up on bass fishing. What got into you in such a young age? What was burning in your gut to make you want to be a professional bass fisherman, and how did you get into the sport?
Well, I got into the sport by I was just fishing a lot. I liked fishing with my boy. We'd fish for catfish, trout, and we'd catch those darn bass when we didn't want to catch them by shaking night crawlers. And one day I got come on the launch ramp, and we must have threw away, 30 pounds of bass. and they were having a weigh-in there, and George Kramer was there, and I said, what are those guys doing, George? Well, they're having a club tournament, and this is their weigh-in, and I think they weighed like 4 pounds or something. So I decided, I can do that. So I went to Jim Smith and had him make me some worms that look like a night crawler. A good friend of mine, Herb Curley, taught me a lot about how to use a round line graph recorder and how to position a boat. He was a bait fisherman, but he knew how to. He was one of the very first guys to ever double anchor with a boat and position, because he had the electronics. He was the skipper of the Sport King out of Long Beach in those days. So he knew a lot. He taught me a lot. And from then, I got me a round line graph recorder. It was very difficult to learn. And I started fishing the structure and shaking that little brown worm. And the rest is history. Then I won the world championship. You know, and I remember a couple things. I'll tell you two little stories. One, I remember I finished fourth in the U.S. Open the third year of the Open. That's when you had a fish one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And Ricky Klun got up there, and we're really good friends. I've seen him at the Open, and it's been a long time. He's still probably, in my mind, one of the best bass fishermen of all time. Anyway, he gets up there, and he says, that Iovino, he can catch fish with these sissy rods and sissy baits and fairy wands. And I never forgot that. I was doing a seminar with Kevin Van Dam in Illinois, and he was up there just giving me a bad time about drop shotting and fishing the little bait. And about a month ago, I happened to notice he was drop shotting with them little worms. So I called him and I reminded him, hey, remember all the bad times you gave me about them little worms and that drop shot? You said it was sissy fishing. I says, I noticed you got a couple rods in your boat. So that's how it all developed. And, you know, all that stuff they're doing today, we did 40 years ago. You know, it's nothing new. I listen to these guys on TV now, and they're watching their graph recorders or their meters, and they're dropping the bait straight down. You know, I've been doing that for 42 years, Jim.
I got to tell you, Donnie and I go way back. You were in Southern California Bass, the club there, Donnie?
Yeah, San Fernando Valley Bass.
San Fernando. I was in West Valley. This goes way back. And when he first started fishing, a lot of the guys are going, when he first went into the pro circuit part, you know, guys were going, well, you know, what does he know? He's going to go fish pro and whatever else. We were friends anyhow all along, because Jim Smith is where we got worms from, and Smitty Worms over there. And Donnie introduced me to Jim, so I had my baits over there made by Jim Smith also. But Donnie was the guy that came up with the term for shaking a worm that everybody learned that was doodling. And then he had doodle sliding for swimming the worm down there. And he probably taught more people over the years. He is responsible for, I can't tell you how many people have learned how to shake a worm the right way and how to fish a worm the right way because of Don Iovino. I remember when I first decided I was going to go pro, and I called him up and said, I'm going to fish Lake Mead as a pro this next tournament, but I haven't been over there lately, and what stuff do I get? So I went over to his garage, and he showed me all the garland stuff that we're both used to throw and fixed me up with the right colors, and all of my friends said, you know, Don Iovino is a pro now, and he's never going to tell you the truth. I went, well, you know, Don Iovino is a man I call friend, so I have to trust him. I went there. We got into the draw. The first day of the tournament, who did I draw but Don Iovino? Got in his boat, and everything he had on, I had tied on. And we went out and had a great day, got a lot of fish. We go way back, and it's been just a lot of fun to watch Don actually show thousands of people how to fish the correct way and what baits to use and how to set them up and what rods to use, because it's a tool in your hand, and if you don't have the right rod for shaking, it doesn't work as well.
You know, one of the things that Mike Iaconelli, new book come out on finesse fishing, he did a whole chapter. He's the first one that recognized me and what I've done for the sport. of bass fishing. The very first one of all the guys that I've helped.
Wow.
Gary Klein, you name him. Taught him how to fish deep and read their meters. He's the very first guy that gave me the recognition, and I emailed him. I'm going to do some shows for him on his Bass University, but I emailed him and told him, you're the very first one that's recognized what I've done in this sport.
You know,
Wendy,
do you have a question for Donnie?
Yeah, you know, not only that, I mean, as far as young and old go, he's actually taught tons, thousands of people how to use a Lowrance, how to use their electronics.
Well, yeah, I've done that, especially now. I mean, I've done so many seminars now. You know, when I was at the U.S. Open for Lowrance this last Open, it was I don't know how many boats I had to fix. You know, most of these guys are buying these new units, and they really don't have a clue. When I go to this tournament Monday and Tuesday, anybody that needs a little help, and if I'm there, just come and get me. I'm not going to stick around too long, but I'll be around long enough to help you out, because there's a lot of settings that need to be done on those units right now.
I'm going to tell you right now, I use Donnie all the time for my electronics. I mean, and it's been at the U.S. Open even, when we were sitting there boat to boat in a parking lot, and I said, man, I can't get things to work right, and he jumps in the boat and turns it on and dials it in for me, you know, as a competitor, but, you know, he's also a friend, but he has the heart for the industry, and he's always, always helping guys out with that. And if you're going down there and you're going to be around, have him check your unit. It's amazing the little things that can make a big difference in the units nowadays, especially.
Especially the HDS units. As a matter of fact, I'm bringing a new HDS 8. If anybody's looking for one, I'll give them a good deal on it. I'm bringing it down with me.
Donnie,
I got to get up at 3:00 and meet Richard. He better be on some fish, or I'll throw him overboard.
Donnie, you know, over the years, fishermen have called you many names, I know, but one of the names that has stuck and I like calling you is the Doodling King. We know that through your videos and also what you did in developing rods and worms. But tell us, how did that method come about?
The Doodle King thing is when I won the world championship in 1984, George Kramer wrote a front page thing in the Los Angeles Times and the Western Outdoor News, and says Doodle King whips them at Lake Mojave. And that was my finest hour, because I had taken so much heat from them guys, and they were all there. You name them, they were there. And I whipped them, and I whipped them good. And I did it with that little worm, and I got up there and I said, well, they ain't 50 baits anymore.
Donnie,
we got the boat and the money.
We got a few more questions we need to ask you. We can keep you awake for another segment. We'd certainly appreciate it. Can we ask you to do so?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey,
I ain't going nowhere. I'm still breathing.
Thanks a lot, Donnie. Hey, we've got Stan Vanderberg, Wendy Toshahar. I'm Hop Along John. You're listening to Rod and Reel Radio on AM 540. We're going to go break for a couple of commercial messages, but we'll be back with Donnie Iovino. Stay tuned.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
The Red Rooster 3 is 105 feet of unmatched luxury. This fishing machine is the result of 40 years of long-range sport fishing experience. The Red Rooster 3 is the very finest long-range sport fisher in terms of safety, design, speed, and technology. With her experienced captain and crew, your fishing adventure is sure to be a success. Whether you're a hardened long-range veteran or a fisherman or woman waiting to catch that fish of a lifetime, either way, the Red Rooster 3 is the boat for you. 8-day trips are offered all summer for albacore, tuna, or yellowtail. In the fall and winter, you can book trips to the
Alios Rocks and the Revilla Gajitos Islands. These 10 to 18 day trips target speedy wahoo and world record yellowfin tuna. You'll travel in luxury and comfort in air conditioned staterooms with passenger loads limited to give you maximum fishing room. Seven live bait wells will guarantee you plenty of bait. The Red Rooster 3 is equipped with state of the art electronics to help maintain safety and catch more fish. For information and reservations, call Lee Palm Sport Fishers at 619-224-3857. That's the Red Rooster 3 at 619-224-3857. Customer service is a priority.
Angler's Arsenal is the serious angler's first choice for hand-poured plastics, McCoy Line, Spro Products, Gamakatsu Hooks, G. Loomis Fishing Rods, Shimano Products, Ovid Reels, and just about anything you hear advertised on Rod and Reel Radio. Go to anglersarsenal.com and visit our online tackle store. See the huge selection of Western Plastics hand-poured baits, all at anglersarsenal.com. Angler's Arsenal Tackle Store is conveniently located in La Mesa, just off Interstate 8. Give us a call at 1-800-428-8730.
Hi, this is Captain Chris Randall from the Indian. The 2010 season is here, and now is the time to book your next fishing vacation on the Indian. We specialize in 1 to 3 day group charters and offer a wide variety of limited load open party trips at bargain buster rates. Visit our website at IndianSportFishing.com or give us a call at 619-523-8862.
Hi, this is BSS record holder Dean Rojas. El Cajon Ford helped me when I got started in my career, and let them help you with a new F-Series Ford truck. And remember, nobody beats El Cajon Ford.
And we want to welcome Southern California back to Rod and Reel Radio. Stan Vanderberg is with me tonight. Wendy Toshihar, we're speaking with Donnie Iovino. And, Donnie, I know you're an expert on a lot of the Lowrance products, but I just want to shoot a couple of products across your bow because in the years that you've been in the fishing business, you have been so innovative, and I've got such a curiosity on how you've come up with this stuff. So I'm going to start off. You were one of the first guys I know that took paint and started painting weights, and especially working with top brass. How did that come about?
I went to the ICAST show. I remember that, and I've been using the lead weights with beads. And there's one quick little story about the painted sinkers. I remember I was fishing with Denny Brower, and he was picking on me about painted sinkers. And I noticed that then we did a show about a year later. And I said, you know, I seen those black sinkers painted in your boat and those red ones. I said, I thought you said you'd never do that. So anyway, I painted the sinkers to match the worms. I don't know if it makes a difference, but right now it's a big deal. And on the brass sinkers, they gave me these little tickers. I was walking around. And I was looking at these tickers, and I told him, I said, can you make a bullet sinker out of brass? Because I think it'd make a heck of a lot more noise than these lead sinkers, especially with an 8-millimeter bead.
Sure.
And they said, yeah. And that's how it all started. Then I had them paint them, and the brass and glass, you know, after that took off like a rocket ship.
I don't know if there isn't a quality fishing tackle store located not only here in the Southwest, but probably throughout the United States where you can't find Donnie Iovino brass and glass that's made by Top Brass Tackle. Donnie, just one more question about another lure. You know, several years ago, there was such a craze that was created over a topwater lure called the Michael. And it came out here in a couple of different forms, but you got a hold of that lure and you made it something special. Tell us that story, would you please?
I'll tell you the story. What happened was when I was doing seminars with Zal Rowland, we had to share the room together, and he'd be laying in his, now we don't sleep in the same bed, in his bed, and he's sitting there carving this lure up, you know, and I said, what are you doing? He says, well, he starts showing me what exactly he was doing. I says, why don't you just make the bait? And I says, make it out of plastic and put some rattles in it. So, yeah, if you know Zal, he ain't going to do any of that stuff. So I talked to my friend June Yaneda, and we came up with the Rico. And then they didn't treat me too fair. So, June.
Well, the Rico was named after a fisherman, was it not?
or Ricky Klund, but it was a copy of the Michael, same bait.
Okay.
So what happened was my friend Junior Nato, who actually designed it and also was a part of the manufacturing, went to the wrong dealer. So the Tifa company decided they ain't going to buy them. They don't want them because they went to the wrong. That's the way the Japanese do things. If you're not buying it from a certain person and you buy it from somebody else and they don't want them. So he's got 10,000 Ricos. Really funny colors, too. You know, I didn't like hardly any of them. But I bought them all for, I won't tell you what I paid for them. I painted Rico off the top, put Splash It on top. Then I took that money and redesigned the mold and came out with the Splash It and cut the price in half.
That was a great thing about the Splash It. You still sell the Splash It, but what was great is that it worked as well as the other bait. And as you said, it was half the price, and ourselves as a dealer, we could make a good margin on it. I hope you were making a good margin on it. And to this day, we still keep Splash Its in the store, and it's just one of the best topwater poppers you could ever want to use.
This is the best. This has been my best year for sales for the Splash It, and I've had that bait for over 20-some years, and this has been the very best year I've ever had. I don't know how many I've sold, but it's in the thousands and thousands.
It's amazing how sometimes, you know, a bait kind of comes around again, if you want to call it that.
Then I made the big one.
Yeah.
You know, and the big one I cut, I sold it for half the price, too. I mean, it turned out to be even as good as anything out there. And if you watch a lot of these guys on the Elite Series and FLW, I happen to know that two of them in the World Forest Wood Cup were throwing my Splash It.
Wow.
Yep. They'll call it a pop art, okay?
The other thing is you were in on.
I don't give them to them. They got to buy them.
Thank you, Donnie. Hey, the other thing is that you've also been innovative in the soft plastics market, making worms. I know as the manufacturer of soft plastic worms, even a lot of the worms that I make today and the most popular ones are named after lures, actually, that you named and gave names for the colors. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got into the soft plastic business and some of the more popular colors that you've made that our listening audience would recognize?
Well, the way I did was when I went to Jim Smith to start making me natural baits to look like crawdads and night crawlers and bass and just a lot of different colors. And then I didn't have the time in those days. I was fishing tournaments and raising a family and trying to make a living too. And so Jim Smith took it over, and Jim and Carol, and they start making the worms, and that was a big thing. They were the very first people in the hand poured business. They initiated it, and then when Jim got sick and Carol didn't want to do it no more, I took it over. I've had to go through two or three people, but now Designer Bates was the ladies that worked for them now. We don't sell our baits to stores anymore. Everything is direct, and they do a great job. And that's basically how I do it. I'm always playing with it. There's a couple of baits. One of them I call Michael Jackson. Another one I call Rhythm and Blues, and Blue Thunder, Blue Ghost. I mean, I got all kinds of names. Green Weenie. The Green Weenie. The reason I did that goes way back to a hot dog. Was sitting there. And it must have been there for a couple of days. And it was green. You know, you got the bun was brown and the hot dog was green. So I made a green weenie.
Right. So,
how that happened. I caught some crawdads at Lake Powell, brought them home, and that's what they look like.
Well, if you ever go to your local tackle store and you're looking at worms and you see green weenie and rhythm and blues and a lot of these other weird colors, now you know the story that Donnie Ivino was the guy that first came up with the name on these things. Donnie, yeah, we could go down memory lane for 2 hours with you, but
yeah,
we want to tell our audience, what are you doing with Lowrance now? Because they send you all over the country doing work for them, and it's got to be important for them to use you as a resource like that.
Well, the company was sold to NAFCO, and you know, a lot of the people that were working I've been through a lot of my friends. Mike Campbell's still there, and he's kind of my guru. They keep changing these reps in and out, but Mike's still there, and he's more or less is the guy that I always look to if I needed help and if I need to do something. Because everything has to be done now. If somebody calls me, then I have to clear it with NAFCO, and they have to, you know, then they got to call the guy. You know, there's a lot involved there. Daryl Rollins is my mentor. He has taught me everything. This guy is absolute brain of all brains for Lowrance Electronics. And if he don't know it, you don't need to know it. when it comes to interpretation, I don't think anybody can interpret what I see on that graph. I mean, I've been doing it so long, I know. But when it comes to the function and all the new settings and all the buttons you got to push, without Daryl, I would have been lost. I mean, and everywhere I go, these guys that are buying these HDS units, 90% of them don't have a clue.
I'll vote for that. It is such a hard thing it's not like push the button and it works. You've got to get the thing dialed in 100 different ways now.
Now with this new structure scan, you know, that's a whole new ball game now too.
Yeah.
And also we keep updating these things, and you got to get the updates, and you got to know, you know, what update. Right now we're dealing with 4.0 on the HDS units, which is a new wizard configuration that's supposed to, when you put that in there, it's supposed to do everything automatic, but there's still some tweaking that has to be done, and I think they're going to come out with another fix on that.
Well, Donnie, I know you're going to be down here in San Diego fishing the Elk Horn Fort San Diego Team Open. We're going to make the announcement that if there are any of the fishermen fishing that event that want to tweak their units a little bit to meet you Monday at the tournament over at Anglers Marine in Santee, and that way you can just drive up over there, and they've got a back lot that they can work with. And then we'll work on what you're going to do on Tuesday, because you unselfishly have offered your time, even after as hard as you're working over here, to come and help the fishermen out after you've been fishing all day. We really appreciate that.
Well, I'm not going to go to Anglers, though. They're going to have to do it in the lot there, because I got to get back here Monday night, and then I got to get up in the morning Tuesday and go fish again. So,
all right,
tournament's over. I'm going to help them all I can, then I got to leave, and then come back the next day.
All right. Well, Donnie,
good luck, buddy.
Yeah. If people can get a hold of you normally directly, but if they want to see your products or ask you any questions, how's the best way to go about doing this?
Just pull up biovino.com. It's pretty easy. Or you can email me at pam@iovino@yahoo.com. I use my daughter's name. Otherwise, it's confusing with my business.
And, Donnie, just quickly, the sponsors that have stayed with you all these years that help you get around the country the way you do.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've been very fortunate. Ranger's just been super. Matter of fact, I've had to go to Randy Hopper to have him help me with Mercury. Mercury tried to throw me under the bus after 41 years. But everybody else has been right there solid for me, except Mercury is... they threw me under the bus about 2 or 3 feet. I'm still caught on the bumper, but I think Randy's going to try to help me.
Well, luckily, we've all been thrown out of the bus a couple of three times, Donnie, but we're all resilient. You seem to be as resilient as, even more so than most of them. Hey, we want to thank you for being with us on the Sunday night. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow, because I'm the tournament director at Lake Otay. That's where you're going to be fishing. Donnie, you have a good night's rest and good fishing with the Elk Horn Fort San Diego Team Open.
just one quick thing. This is my 41st Ranger.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you'll find one.
I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thank you, Donnie. Hey, that's Donnie Ivino. He's on with us on Rod and Reel Radio. Hey, we're running a little overtime. We've got to stop for this commercial message, but come on back because we want to talk about the Albacore. We want to talk about the Elko and Fort San Diego Team Open. We still have a lot to talk about tonight.
H&M Landing is the most diversified sport fishing company on the West Coast, serving the angling community since 1935. H&M Landing's name recognition and reputation for customer service is the best in the business. The H&M fleet provides the widest range of trip options and boasts the coast's largest open party fleet. For ocean fishing any time of the year, H&M Landing should be your choice for nearshore and offshore fishing. H&M is San Diego's most experienced sport fishing company, offering the best in half-day, three-quarter-day, full, and multi-day trips, and a complete schedule of long-range adventures. Call today H&M Landing 619-222-1144 or visit their website at www.hmlanding.com for updated schedules and to secure online booking. H&M Landing, the experienced angler's first choice in local and multi-day fishing since 1935. That's H&M Landing at 619-222-1144 or hmlanding.com.
It's tuna time, and it's time to reserve your spot on one of the newest boats in the fleet, the 70-foot Sea Adventure. Adventure 2 is the open party boat at H&M Landing in San Diego and has a roomy, comfortable galley that seats up to 24 passengers with all the comforts of home, including two big satellite flat-screen TVs, soda fountain, ice maker, and satellite phone. The huge new bait tank and slammer ensure plenty of bait for everyone, and 2 4-ton refrigerated fish holds, both RSW and blast-free, have plenty of room to keep your catch as fresh as the minute you caught it. Reserve your spot on the Sea Adventure 2 online at hmlanding.com or call H&M Landing at 619-222-1144.
Hey, bass fishermen. Who do you call for your bass boat insurance? Well, if you're not calling me at 1-800-BASS-BOAT for your boat insurance, you're probably paying too much and may not have the coverage that you need. In 1974, I developed the Bass Boat Program that is what all the pros use today. The reason? No depreciation or any partial claim for your hull, your big motor, your trolling motor, or your electronics until your boat's 10 years old. That's right. You only pay $250 to get your boat on the water for any partial claim, and we still pay a stated value replacement cost for your boat if you have a total loss. We're the only people in the industry that does that, and that's why we are the choice of the pros. So if you want the best, forget the rest. Just call 1-800-BASS-BOAT. Call 1-800-227-7262 or just spell Bass Boat. 1-800-BASS-BOAT. I know there's too many letters, but the T is free and the call's on me. That's 1-800-BASS-BOAT, the choice of the pros for bass boat insurance. For more information, log on to 1-800-BASS-BOAT.com.
Hi, I'm Hopalong John Cassidy. Since 1994, I've put 315,000 miles on my Elkhorn Ford. Thanks to the Elkhorn Ford Service Department, I'm still rolling. For price, service, and selection, nobody beats Elkhorn.
And Southern California, welcome back to Rod and Reel Radio. We want to thank Donnie Ivino for staying awake long enough to be with us. That was great. He'd been working all weekend and had time to be with us on the radio. He's going to be traveling down here to San Diego to fish Paul Leader's 13th annual El Cajon Ford San Diego Team Open. If we get a little time tonight, we'll talk about that. But Wendy and Stan, we've been talking about it, talking about it, talking about it. We've been predicting it, and it's here, finally. The tuna have arrived. Yo.
Took them long enough.
I thought it was awesome. The other day I had to go down to Fisherman's Landing to write an order, and the parking lots were full. You could not find parking anywhere. It was awesome.
Well, here's just an idea of what's happening. You go over to H&M Landing, the Sea Adventure 80 on a two-day trip. They had 27 passengers. They came back with 127 bluefin tuna and 4 yellowtails. And some of those bluefin were up to 50 pounds. Also, Chris Randall on the Indian and our good friends Bobby and Chuck Taft, they've been having great catches over there. That's H&M Landing. If you want to go out on H&M Landing, get a hold of them at 222. 202-1144, and that's in the 619 area.
I got.
If you go,
I got to tell you that the fish have been. You know, we had an exceptional trip a couple of weeks back. Kind of, if you want to call it, started the ball rolling. We had limits of fish on the first. I think the first day and a half or 2 day trip that had happened all year. Just happened to get into a group of fish that wanted to play, and that stuff when it goes really well. And if you hear a boat that got, you know, 120 fish or 180 fish or whatever it is, you lost as many of those fish. I was talking to Bobby Taft, and he'd called me, and he just got off of one of the 2 day trips, and he goes, he had a lot of rent rods on the boat and a lot of people that didn't have the knowledge, but he said at one point in time they had a stop where he came down on the deck and made 30 casts and hooked 30 fish and handed those fish off, and he said he thought they might have landed 10 of them. So there's a lot of fish that they'll just come unhooked. You know, you got that smaller, a lot of that smaller fish that's 15 to 25 pounds and under, or some of it under that even. But that 15 pound to 20 pound fish will grab one of those big sardines, and you got to let them eat those things a while before you set the hook on them, because you'll bring back a lot of skinned up bait, you know, by pulling the trigger a little too quick on that stuff. But you know, fish a 2-0 or small, even sometimes we're fishing smaller hooks and smaller baits, it can make a difference for that fish when you're out there. The bigger fish, when they want to eat, they don't care. That 40-pounder, that big stuff, and then there are some bigger fish that they're hooking, by the way, guys, that come through, and the guys aren't ready for them. They got the wrong gear, and there's no way to land them. Some of that stuff's 100 pounds you'll see jumping out there.
Well, you know, Stan, last week, the three-quarter-day boats, the Malahini and also the San Diego out of Seaforth, they got on the ribbon break just off the old lighthouse at Coronado Island, and they happened to hit some bluefin tuna there. The Malahini, I know, had 11 of them.
Wow.
On a three-quarter-day trip, you know, the fish used to be
That's
there
great.
All the time. We're in another era now where they aren't, but I don't have a current report on how they did over the weekend, but there are fish that close. But most of the fish that are coming in, you still have to give them on a 1.5, and preferably if you can spend the time on a 2 day boat, because the good body of fish are 120 to 140 miles out there. And as you know, the boats are trying to leave early. They're trying to get out of here at 8 o'clock. They stop off at the bait barge to bait up. The bait is still good. They're using big sardines, but still, those boats are going out there at 10 miles an hour, 12 miles an hour at the most. You do the math. If you're traveling 140 miles to get the fish, they're traveling a long way to get there, and what's even worse, a long way to get back, and usually getting back, they're coming uphill. So, but they're having great counts. The Dominator, on a day and a half, they had 10 passengers, 50 bluefin, 12 yellowfin off of Point Loma. If you go to Fisherman's Landing, the Prowler had 66 bluefin on a day and a half. The Pegasus had 26 yellowfin, 27 bluefin, and an Albee. That was on a day and a half. And even if you go out of Seaforth is still getting into them. The Pegasus the Legend had 27 bluefin on a day and a half, and the Outer Limits on a 2 day had 41 bluefin. So they're getting after them. Now is the time. You guys should be on the phone right now. And we'll forgive you if you don't listen to Rod and Reel Radio, that you call up the landings and make those reservations. Now is the time to do it, because this should be a fantastic week for tuna fishing.
Cough, cough, hack, hack. I'm feeling a little sick right now. I think I'm going to go and get some fresh air and go fish.
You know, Mike, I've got Wendy just got off a 5 day. I've got one coming up on the 24th of August here. I have one spot. One of my gentlemen fell off, couldn't make it, but I have one spot left if anybody wants to go to Guadalupe, and we'll probably hit those bluefin either going and coming on the way back. But I have one spot on the Top Gun 80 that is open. If you want, you can call 800 Bass Boat, get a hold of me, and fill that spot if you'd like. And that's going to be perfect timing, I think, for this fish that's out there. Wendy, you just went out to on a 5 day trip on the Searcher and went through the customs situation that we have to go through, something new that we're not used to until this year.
You know, it wasn't bad. We went in at 5:30 in the afternoon. It took us exactly 61 minutes. And the longest part was us going to and from, sitting at the dock. As soon as we got there, the officials came, and we were done in maybe 20 minutes. And then we left the harbor. So it was really quick and easy. As far as going to Guadalupe, I suggest 50 pounds because there are some really nice fish out there. But it's kind of tough to get bit. If you were using 25 pound, of course, it's the usual Guadalupe bite. You can hook up to a lot of fish with 25 pound. But then you can back in. That's another story.
Well, that stuff is running anywhere from 50 to 100 pounds right now. So, you know, running 25 out there at them is not going to do you any good, because even if you do get one, you've got the tax man's going to take his fair share before he ever gets to the boat, if you can get it to the boat.
I do have to tell you, if you want to catch yellowtail, drop a loop first thing in the morning, because the yellowfin aren't around. It seems the current was picking up later in the afternoon, and for some reason the bite was also later in the afternoon. So first thing in the morning when you got up, if you wanted to drop a loop for a few nice yellowtail, do that, and then in the afternoon start fishing for your yellowfin.
You know, if you want to go by the trail of money with the fishermen we have been spooling up here at Angler's Arsenal, they're bringing three setups with them. Number one, they're bringing a reel with 25-pound test on it. The boats, they're stopping by the kelps. There are Dorado and Yellowtail on the kelps. The 25 is great for that, especially if you want to throw some plastics on there or if you want to fly line a sardine. And then also, the 30 and 40 pound test, as Stan had talked about, a lot of guys fishing the Torium 20s, the Torium 30s, or the equivalent size reels. They're gearing up with 30 pound tests, and some of them are even going 40 pound test. And now that we know that there's some albacore and some yellowfin tuna out there, even though you can troll with the boat rods, the skippers are trolling. So if you've got your favorite trolling rig, bring that on out with you. And Stan, what colors, if you're trolling this time of the year, especially for yellowfin and albacore, would you suggest to troll with?
We stayed with the basics. The black and purple, you know, for the morning was always, that's a standard right now. Green and black work good as long as you were in the dark there. And as it got a little brighter, we switched, you know, to Mexican flag. And for the last 3 years, red and white has been a great color out there. It's one of those colors that, you know, a lot of people don't pick, but it has been a consistent getter. And the other thing, you can always pull a cedar plug. A cedar plug gets bit by everything. The guys at Ballyhood had that cedar plug with a had a little, like a squid tail on the back end of it that worked really well too. So it's kind of what we do when we're on the boat. If a guy gets bit, the first fish in the morning, I want to see what color that bait is when it comes out into the boat, and then we'll put two of those out. And if both of those start getting bit at the end of the third or fourth biter, we got the whole back of the boat has the same color on, if that's what they're wanting. And you can stop and then get five jig fish at one whack a lot of the time if sometimes they're committed to one color more than another. Red and white is one of those things when they're eating the squid, whatever, out there. But right now you've got a ton of bait. There's a lot of anchovies out there, and the sardines out there, soury, we saw some of that out there too. So you've got smaller bait fish, and I think that's probably why the black and purple has been working. And you'll have to kind of watch it. A lot of the times that you see that fish that's up, it's up and bouncing around on the surface, and they'll slide into that. I suggest starting with 30. Don't go to 25 right off the bat. Take the 30 because you can hang that bigger fish and get destroyed pretty quick if you're not ready for it.
Another thing, Stan, is that you should use a circle hook instead of like a fly liner hook, especially for the guys that are weekend warriors just getting out there for the first time. All you have to do is wind. You feel the pressure. You can
Yeah, you don't want to swing. You don't. Your swinging doesn't help you a thing there. Just turn the handle until you get the fish going the opposite direction, and then keep turning the handle.
Hey, guys, we got to stop here for a break. But, Wendy, when we come back with the work that you do with Iserline, you have the opportunity to talk to a lot of fishermen. And I want to talk to you about monofilament as opposed to the braid, especially trolling or when you're fly lining baits. So let's get into that subject in the remaining time we have left when we come back. You're listening to Stan Vandenberg, Wendy Toshihara, Hop Along John Cassidy. We're kind of filling in for Big Tuna Bill on Rod Reel Radio on AM 540 Radio Zion. We'll be back after these short messages.
Love to fish? Then catch the Fish Wrap and Log, SoCal's number one source for fishing and boating news. The Fish Wrap gives you the latest on everything salt and freshwater from SoCal to Cabo. It's loaded with in-depth features, plus all the current fishing news. The Fish Wrap's your how-to, what-to, where-to authority on fishing and boating. Catch the Fish Wrap now and read what our experts have to say. Available now free at over 1,000 marinas, tackle shops, boat dealers, charter boats, and newsstands in Southern California. Or click on thefishwrapnews.com.
Hi, it's Tony Gwynn. You know, there's been lots of talk about the car business lately, so it's easy to wonder, who can you trust? Well, the fact is, Ford's been around for over 100 years, and my friends at El Cajon Ford have been here for over a quarter of a century. You can count on El Cajon Ford. I do, and I have for years.
El Cajon Ford has the cars and trucks you can count on, like Ranger, the small truck with best-in-class fuel economy, Fusion with 29 miles per gallon highway, new 2011 Mustang V6s with 31 miles per gallon highway, and Focus with a big 35 miles per gallon highway EPA estimates. Plus, check out the all-new Flex and America's best-selling truck, the F-150. It's all new at El Cajon Ford. New or used, come to El Cajon Ford. Worth the short drive from anywhere in San Diego County. El Cajon Ford, Broadway and Main in El Cajon. Take 8 East past the Grossmont Summit to the Greenfield exit, then over to Broadway and Main. Shop online now, ElCajonFord.com.
Hi, I'm Aaron Martins. For winning the 2004 U.S. Open, I drove away with a new Ford F-150 truck supplied by El Cajon Ford. Nobody beats El Cajon Ford.
And welcome back to the Sunday edition of Rod and Reel Radio. Hey, if you missed any of the show or if you missed our the first hour, you can go to KCAA.com and hit on the Friday icon. And just go over to Rod and Reel Radio. We have an iPod recording of Rod and Reel Radio you can download. Or go to rodandreelradio.com and just hit Listen Live, and that'll take you down where you can get on to KCAA, which is our affiliate that we deal with on 1050 in the Inland Empire, or AM 540 Radio Zion. You can listen to any one of the shows. They'll normally be up a couple of days after we get off the air. Hey, you have Stan, Wendy, and myself. We're talking about how you can maximize some of this tuna bite that's out there right now. And Wendy, quickly, I wanted to talk to you about the differences in using monofilament or a braided line. What do you hear that the fishermen are doing?
Well, you know, from my personal experience on my five-day, I had a short top shot on my 65-pound Spectra connected to 50-pound leader, and I was using Triple X. I wasn't using any fluorocarbon. I was still getting bit, but it seemed that a longer top shot was working a lot better, whether it was it made my bait swim a lot better, I'm not sure, but that seemed to get more hookups rather than a short top shot. So,
Yes. And Wendy and Stan, when it comes to trolling, do you still prefer using a monofilament or do you go to braid?
Well, I've got braid on everything, but for what I'm putting back behind the boat, I mean, I've got on my reels that I'm trolling, I've probably got maybe 100 yards of mono on there. You don't want fluorocarbon at that juncture. You don't need it. Entire good connection, you know, like the Bob Sands or Tony Pena knot, something like that on your Spectra to mono on your bigger stuff like that. You don't need to go loop to loop because you're going to have to change it and every once in a while because something gets tangled or you can get nicks in it, whatever else. It's easier to do that type of connection to your Spectra to mono, and because you want the mono back there behind the boat. That's just going to be your easiest and your best thing. And if you're going to Guadalupe, you're going to use that same reel with 80 on it with the dropper loop for the yellowtail, and if you get a chance for the grouper too.
And for these local fish, you know, I kind of look at it this way. You know, as freshwater bass fishermen, they're fishing a reaction bait. You really don't need fluorocarbon because it's a reaction.
Yep.
Also, same with trolling, it's a reaction.
Exactly.
So you really don't need the fluorocarbon. You can use it if you want. It costs you a little more. But trolling, you don't need the fluorocarbon. Just use mono with some kind of Spectra backing.
And I'm a fan of this. When you're going fishing this bluefin, bluefin have always kind of liked colored line. So, you know, that triple X has kind of a blue hue to it, the regular blue line. That's a good thing to take with you, at least on one reel. Most of the time, I think you need clear line out there because you can see it in low light situations, and clear gets bit pretty good. But the bluefin have a tendency to like the colored line. So, you know, test drive that if you're going.
Now, Stan, you have one more spot left on a trip that you're going on. Wendy, you're just back. I might be out next week. I've got an invitation to go. We might have people calling, listening next Sunday and finding dead air here because we're all fishing. But, Stan, if people want to get a hold of you to get that one extra spot on the Top Gun 80, how's the best way to go about doing it?
800 Bass Boat. You know, just dial 800 and spell the word Bass Boat. The T is free. Too many letters, but the call's on me. I need one guy to fill a spot. We're going to Guadalupe, and probably going to have to deal with that bluefin doggone it again. Either going or coming. And we'll probably take a shot at some of the calico bass. Bobby likes to fish that stuff while we're over there at Guadalupe. And Lord knows, man, they've got some monsters there. So, and every once in a while you get a yellowtail will hit that plastic on you, and that's no fun either. But we have a great time. Bobby grew up fishing the island with his dad, Spike, who was a commercial guy, and so I think he probably knows the island better than anybody else out there. And we have had, this is, I don't know how many years we've been doing this together, but we have a great group of guys. Actually, O'Shea is going to be on the boat from Inside Sports Fishing, so it'll be filmed again. So you have a shot to be on TV.
That'll be great. And, Wendy, you said that when you were on the searcher, you had to stop off at Ensenada. What type of documentation did you as a fisherman have to bring with you that the Mexican authorities were asking for?
You definitely have to have your passport with you, but they did not check us. It's when we got back into San Diego when our customs agents asked us to line up and show our passport.
Okay, but no problems with checking fish or anything like that. They were looking more towards the documentation than anything else.
Yeah, no problems at all. The only difference is this year than 2 years ago when we went to Guadalupe is you have to change your wristband every day, where 2 years ago you just wore the same wristband.
Yeah, they started that at the end here 2 years ago. There, you had to switch that doggone thing, and it's, what is it, $5 a day or something like that?
Now it's 50 pesos.
50 pesos.
Okay, so, and Stan, for our Wendy, with our listeners that aren't familiar with the wristband thing, tell us what that is.
Well, Guadalupe is a reserve, and so you have to pay to fish over there. And so what they do is they charge us a fee, and we get to fish over there, and we have to wear a wristband so that when they do come near our boat or decide to board our boat, they can see that we paid for our permit.
All right. And, Stan, when you come on back from your trip on the Top Gun 80, I know you're going to have a lot of tuna. How's the best way for you to prepare that tuna to take it home with you?
Well, first off, Wendy's going to be there to get some of it for sure. But the girls over at Five Star, I think, do the best job of processing and taking care of fish. And I have them. They're going to meet us at the dock along with all the other boats. They do that also, but they do a phenomenal job of doing the processing and then the filleting and then cryopacking that and get your fish frozen in. If you do that, you can have that same fish, and 6 months later, it's still fresh and good and clean and wonderful. So that's where all my fish goes to Five Star.
Now, Stan, you don't live in San Diego here. You live up in the L.A. area.
Actually.
How do they get the fish to you, or how do you make that exchange of fish, and what kind of a timely manner done in?
They can do it, actually. They can do it in a day, depending on how busy they are. You can actually give them your fish in the morning there, and then if you want to hang around for a few hours, depending on how fast and what the processing is, you can pick it up the same day and go home, depending on how long you want to stay around there. But if you don't, they can actually ship the fish to you, and depending on where you live, the cost can vary. But I've tried that too, and they've shipped it in a one-day thing, and you get it. It seems like they leave it in the afternoon. In the morning you get it in the afternoon, and your fish is perfect. So there's no reason, especially if you're coming from someplace out of the state. The guys from Las Vegas that fish with us on our trips, I've got a group of guys, and they have it shipped over there. I have some other friends that live actually back further east, and they had their fish shipped back there to them also. So there's no reason, if you're going, if you get it done the right way, you don't have to clean anything, you don't have to do anything, you just hand it over to the girls at the dock there at Five Star Fish Processing, and they'll take care of it for you.
And I know that if you come back with more fish than you ever think you need, Fisherman's Processing will also take that fish, and they'll prepare it the same way that they'll prepare it for you personally, or Stan, the way he said it, and then they'll make sure that in your name there's a donation that go to Father Joe's or St. Vincent de Paul, or any of the places in San Diego that are feeding the homeless, and your fish will not go to waste. Man, it's going to be a great weekend for fishing. Another thing happening down here in San Diego, as we mentioned, is the El Cajon Ford San Diego Team Open. We had 45 teams sign up for this event. They're fishing for $5,000 in cash, guaranteed first place prize, and we'll probably report on that next week on who did what. Hey, who knows? Maybe we'll have Donnie Ivino back on, because
we
normally try to get the winner on, and that would be fun to see Donnie take that event. Hey, listen, that's all there is for Sunday night. Stan, thanks a lot for your input. Wendy, it's always good talking to you. Hey, on behalf of Big Tuna Bill Gieslind, I'm Hopalong John Cassidy. Our producer at AM 540 has been Abraham tonight. We want to thank you guys for listening, and I know we're not the voice of Big Tuna Bill, but we're doing the best we can to fill in for him while he's away. If you want to send some kind words, or you want to make a comment to Big Tuna Bill, go to Rod and Reel Radio on Facebook, and you can make a comment there. Ben Harvey is moderating Rod and Reel Radio. He'll send the regards on to Big Tuna Bill. He can't answer all your requests in person because he's having a hard time speaking right now, but I can tell you they're greatly appreciated. So again, on behalf of Stan Vandenberg, Wendy Toshihara, Big Tuna Bill Gieslind, I'm Hopalong John, wishing you all a great fishing week. We look forward to talking to you same time on AM 540, 5 p.m. You guys have a great weekend. Until next week, best fishing wishes to you all.
Oh, yeah.